Let's pray. Lord, we can't express in words how great you are and how good you are and how grateful we are to you. Everything that we see and everything who we are, all come from you. There's nothing in this world that we can say we earned it, but it is your sure grace that we have come to this point of our journey of life with the blessings of life itself and family and fellowship and the education and the experience, you know, everything that we see and we have is indeed your blessing. We just want to bless our blesser, you, our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer, and our Alpha and our Omega. We came naked, bearing nothing, and since then you have blessed us with the material blessings and spiritual blessings, and everything that we have are indeed your gifts. We just want to thank you for your goodness and your presence and your character. That you are absolute one, and there is only one, and no one is like you. We confess you are the only living and true God that we know. We thank you that only Jesus can save us, and as we call upon the name of Jesus, we thank you for sending the Savior, Redeemer in our midst, and whoever believes in him should not perish but has eternal life. We just want to bless your name, especially today, the Thanksgiving Sunday. Let our Thanksgiving continue to flow through our hearts and mind and in our action. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On a Thanksgiving Day, Charlie Brown was bringing out the Snoopy's dinner. And Snoopy was expecting turkey meat, but it was the usual dog food in his bowl, nothing special. And Snoopy looked at it and he said, "It's not fair. The rest of the world is eating turkey with its old trimmings, and all I get is dog food." And he was thinking for the moment, you know, lying on his roof. You know that scene? Snoopy, when he's depressed, he went on top of his roof and he just lie down and look at the heaven, look at the sky. And he's saying, "Well, because I'm a dog, all I get is a dog food." So, and he said, "Oh, I thank God because I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey." So this illustration gives us something to ponder this morning. It is hard to give thanks to God, actually. And Bible sometimes says it is the will of God we should give thanks. So, you know, our heart, you know, could be filled with a lot of complaints and grumblings and things that we tend to see, things that which we don't have. Sometimes we forget what we have and how much God blessed. And we often take it for granted many things in our life, including the very grace of Jesus Christ shown to us through Jesus. and many other blessings that we can see actually if we count it. Actually, this week I was counting the blessings, and I couldn't fill up my note because there are so many things once you think about it. So today, I'd like to introduce a story of a thankful leper from Jesus, Gospel of Luke 17. We are going to discover what is gratitude according to Jesus. How does he look at what gratitude is all about? And from the perspective of Jesus, I think we can be blessed even more. So would you please turn with me to Gospel of Luke 17. We begin with verse 11. Okay. Yes. This is the word of God. And it came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. So this is a simple verse, but it has a lot in one verse because this is actually the last trip for Jesus to Jerusalem from Galilee. So within a few days, actually, Jesus will die. And we recognize that Jesus was going through Samaria. Samaria is located between Galilee north and then Judah, which is Judea, which is south of Samaria. In Jesus' time, most people did not travel through Samaria, which is the shortest cut, but they went a longer route through the Jordan River from Galilee all the way to Jordan and then go to Jerusalem through the mountain because they did not want to encounter the Samaritans. The most Jews really looked down upon them, and in some case they hated because Samaritans are not the Orthodox Jews. They were blended with foreign blood, and they compromised the Bible. They only recognized the law of Moses as their canon. They also established their own temple in Mount Gerizim, where Jews believed that the only temple is the one in Jerusalem. So they believed that Samaritans are compromised people, so to speak. They did not like them at all. But Jesus was different. In his last trip to Jerusalem, knowing that he's going to die soon, he wanted to minister to the people in Samaria. So this one verse contains a lot about Jesus' compassion, Jesus' love, and Jesus' grace, especially for the lost. And verse 12, as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. I think Jesus had intention. You know, he wanted to take care of these lepers. So he was passing by a certain village, and 10 leprous men who stood at a distance. So this village is definitely not just Samaritan village, but the village of the lepers. Nobody would dare, you know, come to those areas, not even close, because they might get this disease, which is incurable disease. Even this day, I think there's no medical cure, right? Hansen disease? I forgot. What is the leprosy? Hansen? I don't know. But anyhow, so this village is an isolated village from the regular village. And the Jewish law prescribes them to live in isolation. But Jesus was entering into that village. And these people were stood far away from Jesus because they're not supposed to come near the normal people. So they were abiding by the laws prescribed to them. So they were you know, standing at the distance and recognize Jesus. And verse 13, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So they must have heard about Jesus. You know, Jesus healed leprous men in other occasions. They must have heard about that. So they had some hope that this man called Jesus might be able to cure their disease. So they, you know, cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So they had some initial faith in Jesus, which is good. Now look at verse 14. And when they saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And it came about that they were going, they were cleansed. This is almost you know, incredible thing is happening here. So normally Jesus would have gone near to them and touched them and healed. But this time Jesus did not use that method. Actually, when Jesus healed people, he depends on the situation, he used different method. In this case, they just tell them, hey, you just go to the priest. And then as you are going, you will be healed. That's basically what Jesus said. You know, what Jesus was saying is, when lepers are healed, they're supposed to go to the priest and show their body. And the priest has to bless them that you are cured and you can go to any place you go. So they have to get certificate, so to speak, from the priest that they were healed. So, you know, that is what was in mind in Jesus. So Jesus said, just go to the priest and you will be healed. And then you will gain freedom. And I think the 10 lepers had some belief. They just believed what Jesus was saying. And they didn't complain that, oh, Jesus, why don't you come to us and touch our, you know, sick body, sick portion of the body, then we would be healed. Instead of insisting their own imagination or their own method, they believed in Jesus initially, and so they went on. And the Bible said they were cleansed. Amazing, right? This is a very amazing sin. And if we, you know, make the, you know, movie out of this sin, or make a script, movie script out of this verse 14, it'll be something like this. You know, one guy was going and then he saw that his leprosy disappears and it's gone. And he was looking at the guy accompanying him. Hey, yours is gone too. And they made, you know, jump and, you know, with this full joy that indeed their sickness were healed. And they would have shouted, hey, all of us are healed. You know, Jesus was right. You know, he is the Messiah. He is the mighty God. He has healed all of us. It's kind of, you know, my script is kind of boring, but I think if you are more creative, you can have a little bit. I'm not a good actor, and I'm not a good... but anyhow, I think they're, I can only imagine their extreme joy, maximum joy, because leprosy is something that we cannot even imagine how bad it is, but they were healed. But look at verse 15 and 16. Now, one of them, when they saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. You know, the great irony is that only one of them, one out of ten, turned back from the road to the priest and came back to Jesus and give God the glory and thanking Jesus for what he has done for him. And Luke reports that this guy is a Samaritan, the despised people. The Bible doesn't say whether the Bible doesn't say the identity of the nine people. Presumably they were Jews. That's I read that into, but it doesn't say. But anyhow, but the man who came back, thank him, was a Samaritan. That's kind of the irony, Lucan irony he cast. You know, this despised people is the one who give thanks to the Lord. So one thing that we can think is the rest of the nine people, they will rush to see the priest so that they would get certificate of cleansing, so that they go back to their normal routine, normal life, freedom. But this man, he wasn't thinking about the certificate freedom he will gain, but he went back to Jesus and thanked him and glorified God. So his priority was to give thanks to Jesus rather than the gift that he will receive out of this healing he would enjoy. He kind of deferred that a little bit, but he went back to Jesus. But while other people, they are rushed onto receiving the certificate because they are so desperate. And he fell on his face at his feet. That is worship. He gives glory to God and give thanks to Jesus. And he was Samaritan. Now let's look at verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they?" You know, it is not just us to be surprised that only one of them returned to Jesus. Jesus himself was very surprised to see only one of them came back to see him and say, thank you. So Jesus was wondering what happened to the rest. So from this verse, there's one first point. Jesus sees gratitude as proper response to his act of mercy. So he was surprised not seeing everybody who acknowledged him and who give him thanks. So Jesus obviously sees gratitude as very normal, very usual, and very proper response to his act of mercy. But only one out of 10 show this proper response. So we can see that thanksgiving is not really that easy. You know, percentage-wise, 10% of people were thankful. But the 90% of people were not thankful, even if God blessed them. They were thinking about blessing. As soon as they snatched the blessing, they ran away. A lot of times we see ourselves doing that. When we have a desperate prayer request, as soon as God answered that, we are so happy with the result and go our own way, forgetting about God who blessed us. So Jesus was surprised the response of these 9 lepers who did not come back to give him thanks for his act of mercy and grace. And look at verse 18. "And was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" So in verse 18, Jesus kept on saying about his surprise. He acknowledged that the returned leper who was thankful was a foreigner, a Samaritan. But what about the others? So from this verse, there's a second point. How does Jesus look at gratitude? Jesus sees gratitude as an essential part of worship. Jesus sees gratitude as an essential part of worship because he said, "Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God?" That's worship, right? So Jesus look at those who experience grace of God, they are supposed to show their gratitude, which is an act of worship. So this relationship, you know, why we are not grateful? We forget about grace of God. We just we tend to be too occupied on the gift itself. But I think what Jesus wants us to look at is how gracious God is. You know, if we forget the grace, we are not going to be thankful. So I think grace fuels gratitude. And once we have the real gratitude in our heart, understanding that God is gracious, then we give glory to God, which is our worship. So Jesus is saying definitely gratitude as an essential part of worship. You know, we may ask ourselves, why then the rest of the 9 healed lepers did not come back to express their genuine gratitude for what Jesus has done? The answer I can give is, they might have been hurried to see the priest to gain their reinstating, which they look for so, you know, desperately for all their life, so that they would be freed from being locked up in isolation. So their priority was to enjoy this blessing, the freedom Jesus rendered. But in doing so, they forgot about who gives that freedom and gift. And it's nothing wrong to enjoy the gift of God. But the returned leper, the Samaritan, was different from the rest because he put his priority on giving thanks to Jesus before he was truly enjoying his freedom. And secondly, this man puts God of gifts over gift of God. He truly, thanked the Lord who rendered these blessings to him. You know, we often act like the rest of the 9 lepers, to be honest. I am one of them. We are too focused on the benefit we receive rather than focusing on the giver of the benefit. Once we receive blessing or benefit from God, we tend to forget and neglect the one who blesses us. And when circumstances go bad, there will be no capacity in our heart for gratitude, and our heart turns to that of grumbling, because we forgot about God and the grace of God and God of grace. Even in good times, when you receive blessings from God, we momentarily enjoy that, you know, praise God and so on, but we soon forget about it. And when situations go bad, then we develop grumbling hearts. You know, why life is so hard? And we forgot about all the blessings that we received in the past. And when things are going bad, we begin to complain. Let's look at verse 19, which is the last verse. And he said to them, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is very interesting things that Jesus said. Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And literally, actually, your faith has made you well is your faith has saved you. Literally. Healing and salvation actually is the same Greek word. If you look at Greek manuscript of this verse, literally, your faith has saved you. So what does that mean? This is the third thing. Jesus sees gratitude as the demonstration of a saving faith, which is complete faith. Jesus sees gratitude as a demonstration of a saving faith. All the lepers were healed, and to some measure, all of them had an initial faith in Jesus' command to go to see the priest. As they acted upon their initial faith, they were healed. But only one had the faith that was publicly recognized by Jesus. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. So what does that mean? There are two things, the man's faith involved. First, the man's faith involved in believing what Jesus can do, his leprosy. That's why he went to see the priest, believing in Jesus initially, right? But secondly, this man's faith involved in expressing his genuine thanksgiving to Jesus who healed him. And Jesus recognized that as a saving faith. You know, do you remember the time the Lord was invited? Jesus was invited to a dinner by a Pharisee. And a sinful woman came to the place, and she washed Jesus' feet with oil and wiped them with her hair. And Jesus said to her in Luke 7:50, "Your faith has saved you." That exactly same words, "Your faith has made you well." "Your faith has saved you." And then do you remember the time when a woman who suffered from a chronic bleeding problem for 12 years snuck up behind Jesus and she thought, "If I could only touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." And she did. She snuck up and touched Jesus' hem. And when Jesus recognized her, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well." Again, your faith has saved you. You know, each time these encounters involve someone who was in desperate need, could only hope in Jesus' mercy, and each time Jesus let them know that he responded to their faith in him by saying, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you." You know, could it be that this one healed leper from among those 10, and this one marked by the outstanding expression of thanks to Jesus, was exhibiting true saving faith in Jesus? But there's a caveat here. We are not saved by merely by the act of giving thanks. Correct? You know, when I say, "Oh, Lord, I thank you so much," that doesn't mean, I am saved. We are saved only by placing our faith in God's grace through Jesus, right? Only through faith we are saved. But I believe the genuineness of such saving faith is seen through the offering of sincere thanks to Jesus. It's a demonstration of our genuine faith in us when we express genuine thanksgiving to the Lord. So could it be that demonstration of saving faith that most pleases our Lord is that of giving genuine, sincere thanksgiving to him for having delivered us from our sins? And I believe so. So Jesus sees gratitude as a demonstration of a saving faith. Gratitude itself does not save us, only our full trust in Jesus. But one good way that demonstrates our genuine faith in us is our attitude of thanksgiving to the Lord. Gratitude is nothing but grateful attitude because of what's happening in our inside. Jesus was, on the one hand, Jesus was disappointed with the 9 lepers, but I think Jesus was so pleased with this one man who showed up to him and acknowledged him and gave thanks to him. You know, there's the one thing here. This is the catch. When we give thanks to God, God is so pleased. God's glory. God is glorified when we show our genuine gratitude to him. So that's why it's a worship. Gratitude is at the heart of our worship. You know, we sang a few songs today. You know, our worship leader picks the right song, right songs. Right? It's about thanks. That's at the core of worship. Give thanks to the Lord. That's the core of our worship. And God is glorified, you know, when we give thanks to Him. You know, we are made for the glory of God. And gratitude is definitely a clear way, a sure way that we can please the Lord. And this story shows us how important it is to Jesus Himself that we should give thanks to Him. And genuine thanks stand out to Him as an appropriate response to His grace, and also an essential part of our worship and an expression of our saving faith that is acceptable and pleasing to Him. So let me ask you this question. Are you like that one leper, Samaritan leper, or the rest? Who are you like? You know, I'm glad that we have Thanksgiving Sunday at least once a year. It is a reminder for each one of us to truly give thanks to the Lord. And starting this Sunday, let us cultivate to give thanks to the Lord each and every day, all throughout the year until next Thanksgiving. So it's a reminder for us to cultivate Thanksgiving. Let me finish with this true story. In 1620, 102 people set sail from Plymouth, England, on a quest for religious freedom. You know, after trying trying journeys across the Atlantic Ocean in a harsh England winter, only 55 survived out of 102. They lost almost half of the people they came on board with this ship. But they paused to thank God for His goodness and their survival. And that was the first Thanksgiving Day in this land, 1621. And actually, Abraham Lincoln is the one who instituted Thanksgiving Day as a national holiday. I forgot the year 16-something, right? 1868 or something, when Abraham was the president. He instituted Thanksgiving Day as a national holiday. But if you think about it, those 55 survivors had much to grieve over. And they had watched friends and loved ones die on the way. And hunger and pain had been a constant companion. And who could blame them if they chose to express bitterness instead of gratitude? We would be sympathetic if they showed their extreme bitterness. We were still okay with that. But instead of showing their bitterness, they show gratitude. And the survivor of the first year at Plymouth Bay could have calculated their losses. Oh, we lost this many people. And they could have grieved in self-pity. And they could have nursed their grief, but they did not. Instead, they counted, you know, God's grace. Hey, more than half of us survived. Instead of thinking, oh, almost half of them died, they are focusing on more than half we survived by God's grace. We could have gone together with our loved ones, but God saved us. And we choose to praise Him. And that's how our tradition of Thanksgiving has started in this country. The attitude of Thanksgiving is a foundation of Christianity, especially this American Christianity, who came for religious freedom. They were persecuted because of their belief in Jesus. By the large church, they were a small church. you know, they believed in adult baptism, and they were persecuted because of that. They were killed because of the water baptism you received, so to speak. You know, 400 years back in Europe, that was not acceptable. So they came for religious freedom. They believed in the Bible, and they pursued that. And in doing so, there are a lot of sacrifices like that, but that's how this country has started, with the spirit of thanksgiving, gratitude. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I think some of you memorize, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, good or bad. And why? Apostle Paul said, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So no matter what happens in our life, we have reason to give thanks to God. And why? Because that's the will of God, that we would give thanks to Him. And God is so pleased, God is glorified when we express our genuine thanksgiving to Him and all He has done for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so much indebted to you, our own life and our own existence itself, and all the creation that you rendered, you made out of your hands and with your words. When you look at the words now, all the trees that are now discolored, and it's a time to prepare for spring. And we see the nature obey what you have made. We thank you for everything that you have done for us, and especially this fellowship that we have in this church. Before the foundation of the world, you have chosen us in Jesus Christ to be your children. And not just your children, but we are the co-heir with Jesus Christ for the kingdom of God. You know, what an amazing identity you have given us. That's who we are. We are defined by you, not by how we feel about ourselves. You know, we are winner because you are the victor. You know, we are with you. And when we are lonely, you said, we are yours. So we belong to you. And we are most blessed one because we know the only true God. We thank that only Jesus can save, and Jesus is our Savior. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for this worship that we can render to you. There's nothing in this world that is greater than our expressing our thanksgiving to you, our worship. It's so worthy to you, and you are glorified when you gather and worship in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for all the blessings, and we thank you for you, the blesser that we know as our Father through your Son, Jesus Christ. May this season be purposeful and meaningful and joyful, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because it's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks.
Father, we are grateful for you. Thank you for all the revelations that you made for our sake, to your glory. We know where we came from. We know why we are here. We know where we are headed. We just want to thank you. And all the blessings of family, children, parents, relatives, friendship, and fellowship with other believers in your body. And thank you for the opportunity that we can share our faith in Jesus to the world who may not know you. Father, until your Son come back again, let us continue to be thankful and cultivating our gratitude in all circumstances, whether it's a bad or a good, whether we are on the mountain or we walk through the valley, we can give thanks to you because you are with us forever. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to give some brief report on Thailand mission.